Welcome to The Word in 10. This is Conrad Hilario, and I'm going to be sharing some insights from Acts chapter 8, which was a recent CT teaching that I gave. Broadly speaking, you can break down Acts chapter 8 into three topics. That is, the mission, the method, and the means by which God reaches people. So if we begin in Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, it says, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him." So in the aftermath of Stephen's extrajudicial killing, we're told that the church was under great persecution, and all except the apostles were scattered. So nothing remained of that vibrant community that Luke describes in Acts chapter 2. All trace of its existence disappeared. Imagine what these displaced believers must have felt. You know, we lost our homes, our professions, and our way of life, and the incredible spiritual community God has given us has just completely disappeared. And so you can imagine them wondering, has God lost control? How could he lose Stephen, one of our most promising guys? You know, Stephen was really only getting started. But Luke tells us that God scattered the believers throughout Judea and Samaria. And this detail contains significance because the book of Acts begins with Jesus giving his followers parting instructions. He told them that they should wait for the Holy Spirit to come before they did anything. And then when the Holy Spirit came, we're told that Peter preached to the multitudes and many came to Christ. And this began the spark that ultimately ignited the early church. And it fulfilled what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so Acts chapter 8 begins with the mission, what Jesus stated at the very beginning in the book of Acts. And this really is kind of the second leg of the Great Commission being fulfilled. In verse 4, it says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." You know, it wasn't really till a great persecution which scattered these believers that they began to carry out this second leg of Jesus's mission. Stephen's speech was almost prophetic. Jerusalem and the temple were fading from view as Christ called his people to go. So the second thing then that we see from this passage is the method. God chooses humans as his method of carrying out his mission. In verse 5, it says, "Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there." Philip, if you can recall back in Acts chapter 8 or 6, was one of the seven men that the apostles chose to administrate this feeding program because there were so many poor widows living in Jerusalem at the time. And then in verse 6 and 7, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Kandaki, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship." So Luke gives us some biographical information about this Ethiopian eunuch. First of all, he's Ethiopian. Philip was an ethnic Jew. This man probably wasn't Jewish, even though there was a large Jewish diaspora in Egypt. My guess was he was probably a God-fearing person, but didn't convert to Judaism. He was also an important official. You know, when you think of an important official, you think of like a mid-level bureaucrat in the government or a local elected official like the Franklin County Auditor. But the Greek word for important official is dynastes, where we actually get the word dynasty from. And it could mean something like king, ruler, sovereign, potentate, or court official. You see, the people who turn to Christ aren't just drug addicts and people who have ruined their lives. There are many examples in Scripture of people who have held some of the highest positions in society, who realize when they summited the peaks of achievement and success, you know, there's nothing here. I'm not happy. There are others who have and have done far more than me. And they're left wondering, you know, what's the point? This man also was going to Jerusalem to worship. And he got a rude awakening when he arrived at the temple. If he was Jewish, he would have known that he was not allowed to enter the temple complex, because Deuteronomy 23 verse 1 clearly states, no one who has testicles that are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the tabernacle of the Lord. Again, can you imagine how he must have felt after making this long journey to Jerusalem only to get turned away when he got to the temple? In verse 28 and 29, it says, on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. So the Holy Spirit nudges Philip to talk to this guy. If you're a follower of Christ, God will occasionally give you promptings to talk to people about Christ. It may not be an audible voice, but a lot of times it's a subjective sense. You know, I should go and talk to her about my faith, or I should go and introduce myself to him. Often these represent God setting up divine appointments for us. Verse 30 says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. You can imagine Philip jogging beside the eunuch's carriage. And then in verse 31, it says, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. The Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Finally, we read in verses 36 through 39, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, here's some water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but they went on rejoicing on his way. So the final thing that we're going to look at is the method. The main character of this story was not Philip. The primary actor was the Holy Spirit. He was the one directing Philip. Philip's job was to remain sensitive to the Spirit's leading. So I want to leave you with five observations of how the Spirit leads us to do God's work from this story. Number one, God's Spirit often is working behind the scenes, preparing conversations for us to have about Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch had been asking bigger questions about life. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Is this all that life has to offer? He was searching for the truth by going to Jerusalem, searching the scriptures. Number two, learning to be sensitive to the Spirit requires practiced and focused listening. Philip was attuned to the Spirit's leading. That's what prompted him to walk next to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot and talk to him. You know, in the same way, we need to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit, but it takes time and practice. Third, the leading of the Holy Spirit doesn't relinquish our responsibility to be prepared. You know, what if the eunuch said to Philip, what does this mean? And he was like, I have no clue. That wouldn't be a good story. It probably wouldn't be contained in the book of Acts. And so in the same way, God tells us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Fourth, the Spirit often calls us to do things that are uncomfortable or grate against our prejudices and insecurities. That's what he did with Philip. He called on him to talk to the Samaritan, something he would probably have never done on his own. And then finally, look for correlated leading. This is where you see events lining up. And in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, they lined up perfectly. And that's because God's Spirit was orchestrating these events. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to A Word in 10 with some insights from the book of Acts. If you want any more resources or want to learn more, why don't you log on to www.dwellcc.org.